Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Ascension Meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. The last few verses were heard earlier in our scripture reading. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So far from our text. In Christ Jesus, our ascended Lord and Savior, who rules all things, both in heaven and on earth, dear fellow redeemed. Ascension is one of the few Christian festivals or holidays that remains unsoiled by worldly celebrations, and rightfully so. For the Ascension directs us to heaven from this sphere which we called our home to our real home. Our real home in heaven that is given to all who live in Christ. The Ascension praises a King whom we cannot see with our own eyes, but one who rules over us and all things with his all-powerful word of love. The Ascension brings comfort to us Christians that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For our Lord and King rules in such a way every day of our lives so that everything in this life happens for the welfare and the eternal good of His church, of all believers in Christ. Therefore, this evening, even though much of the world doesn't know that we're having Ascension services, this evening, we have a glorious comfort of knowing heaven is our home. And with that thought in mind, this evening, some 1980 years after Jesus bodily ascended into heaven, we are encouraged to look to our heavenly home. So, look to your heavenly home. How often do you do that? How often do you take the time in your daily busy work day, or your study day, or in recreation, to meditate on, to think about heaven? Probably as not as much as we as Christians should. Every day we as Christians should think about our heavenly home. In fact, the Christians shortly after Ascension thought so very much of that one of the first festivals, the first holidays they chose, was a yearly celebration of the Ascension. Hundreds of years before the Christian church chose Christmas as a holiday. That's the reason that we're created on this earth. God created us to be reborn children of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through His Word, so we live in His kingdom here and eventually live forever in His kingdom in heaven. This earth is just temporary. It's the precursor. That is, it's that which precedes that which is to come. The aim, the goal, the end of Christian's life is not just earthly riches and earthly happiness and a long life and a blessed retirement. These things aren't wrong, and we thank the Lord if we have them. But the end and goal of a Christian's life is much more glorious, much more grand, and lasts much longer. The aim and goal of every single Christian is eternal riches, eternal glory, eternal blessedness, eternal life, resting from our labors. How do we even compare the two of them? And yet, because of our lives are so busy and so preoccupied with the activities and the events of the here and the now and promises of the future, we give so very little time and so very little thought, often, to why we're really here. And that's sometimes why it's good when we get sick, get the flu, or cold, or an accident, and we're laid up for a while, and we can't go to work. It's God's way of slowing us down and helping us reevaluate and maybe even reprioritize our lives. Think about what's important, what's not important. To meditate and mull over things, and hopefully by the Spirit's prodding and nudging, realize the glorious nature and the inexpressible joy of heaven. What greater thought can there be in the worn out, achy, feverish, dying body than to know that in heaven there'll be perfect health, perfect happiness, with no death at all? What greater thought can there be for a despondent, grief-stricken invalid or a lonely, aged person than knowing that in heaven we'll have pure ecstasy, perfect joy, seeing our Savior face to face, never to be lonely again? So why should that eager longing be any different for those of us who are healthy, or young, or busy, and active with this life? So on this Ascension Day, whether our past has been one of sickness or of health, whether it's been one of carefree peace or filled with anxiety and fear, or busy work-filled days or lonely boredom, let's take the time to think about, to meditate on the real reason why we're here on this earth. Take time to think about the real end of every one of our lives. Take the time to look at our heavenly home. And our first point this evening is this: our place is assured. What a blessed comfort that first point gives us. Our place is assured. And why are we assured that we have a heavenly home? Because everything about Jesus that was prophesied in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. His virgin birth, his perfect obedient life, his sacrifice, his crucifixion, his death and burial, his victorious resurrection, his ascension to heaven. All of this proves that Jesus has done everything needed for us to have heaven as our home. In fact, earlier in his ministry, Jesus said to his disciples and to us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to be with me, so that where I am, there you may be also." Through his perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, he has earned this place for you and for me, and he has made sure that it'll be given to us through the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts through the glorious gospel message of salvation. And we can be assured that on Judgment Day, when we stand before him, Christ will say to all of us who believe in him, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So look to your heavenly home. Our place is assured. Secondly, the way is open to all. Jesus said in our text, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that means you and me too. Heaven cannot be populated by sinners. Nothing sinful can enter into heaven. So we ask, well, how can we, who are conceived and born in sin, have sinful thoughts, words, and actions, steeped in sin, racked with sin, are going to die because of our sinful nature, then how are we going to heaven? Because Jesus lived and died for me. Let's all say that together. Jesus lived and died for me. Ready? Jesus lived and died for me. And for every me in this world. Jesus took our place. He died for us. And heaven and the Holy Spirit has led us to repent of our sins and believe that when Jesus took our place, all of our guilt was placed upon him. Our debt was paid through Jesus, our Savior. Since he was placed under condemnation by God the Father, we have nothing to fear. Jesus lived and died for me. And in Christ we're declared not just not guilty, but we're declared righteous in Jesus. Look to your heavenly home. It is our place is assured and the way is open to all. And thirdly, our Lord is already there. The way is open to all because the one thing that stood between us and God, our sins, has been taken away. We read, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And now Jesus ascended to heaven not just to prepare a place for us, but to rule over our lives. To make sure that everything that happens in your life and mine as his children, as redeemed children of God, justified, declared righteous, will bring us to that heavenly home. Paul wrote, and God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus now fills all things. Yes, we can't see him physically, and yet he promises us that he is with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's not only here with us, he's with those around the world. And he's with his Heavenly Father, not just in one place, stuck in the right hand of God. He is everywhere. He has fulfilled his calling as prophet, priest, and king. The ascension of Jesus is not just literally, but also spiritually and figuratively, the high point of his life. It's the pinnacle of his ministry. All is now done. The way has been prepared. Heaven is ours. The Mount of Olives upon which Jesus was before he ascended and Calvary are not very far apart. They're part of the same mountain range. One is a little bit outside of Jerusalem, one is inside of Jerusalem. And so we see that Jesus' humiliation and his exaltation not only took place in close proximity in space, but also in time. For the once humiliated, thorn-crowned, beaten, whipped, mocked, ridiculed, crucified, and dead King of the Jews, 43 days after his crucifixion, is now the resurrected, exalted, glorified, ascending, ever-ruling King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's one last note that's always intrigued me as I read this ascension story. We're told the disciples went back to Jerusalem with joy, praising and glorifying God. It always boggles my mind. what happened the first time he left? When he died on Good Friday and was buried. They were filled with fear. They were despairing. They were depressed. They thought the world had come to an end. And now Jesus left again. No longer would they see him face to face. No longer would he be there walking with them, holding their hand, giving them comfort and guidance and correction and instruction. And yet, they're not fearful. They're not sad. They're not despairing. We're told they went back into the temple, praising God, rejoicing, awaiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. No longer did they hide behind closed and locked doors. No longer were they filled with fear. They went and proclaimed the good news to all people. So we too, after this ascension ceremony, should be filled with great joy and with boldness. Christ, our Lord and Savior, who loves you so very much that he gave his own life and was damned for you, is the King of heaven and earth. There is nothing that can conquer him, nothing that can stop and thwart his plans for you or for me. With such a king on our side, ruling all things for the welfare of us, his brothers and sisters, can we ever doubt that all things will work together for our eternal welfare? Can we ever doubt that when we bring the word of God to someone, even though we might do it in fear and trembling, talk about Jesus, the Lord's going to bless our words? May we also, like the disciples, be found consistently in God's house, hearing his word, praising their Savior, and then go and spread that good news of salvation to all whom we meet, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. That's why we've been put here. Not only to be converted and become children of God, to live in his kingdom here, and eventually to live in his kingdom in heaven, but to be his ambassadors, to tell others of this crucified, risen, and ascended Savior who rules all things. That's why God called you as individual Christians, and that's why he's gathered you together as this congregation. So may this ascension text inspire all of us every day to look to meditate on, and to eagerly and confidently look to our heavenly home. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.